What is the greatest honor or recognition that a city can give to a person or organization? You know? What do they give? The key to the city, right? For our youngsters, just to give you a background, you know, the key is a symbol of recognizing of the good work or the connection of the person or organization to a city. In the medieval times, they did this because we know there was a wall and gates, and to hand literally the key means that they can go in and get out of the city, and with the city welcoming them, and they should not be fearful. Else, if they don't, you know, if they don't have the key, they will become not welcome. And it's a real honor to be able to be given that recognition. And so what happened with the first reading today, the words of the prophet Isaiah telling Shebna, who is the master of the palace, and Shebna was not really good in his work. As in the introduction we have said, Shebna was really more self-centered. He was using the authority and the privilege of the office for his own gain. And Isaiah made a prophecy through the inspiration of God's grace that Eliakim will be taking his place. And Eliakim will be given the keys to that palace because it's more worth it, because he thinks more of others rather than himself. And it is a very admirable trait to have, to be in that position, because it's helping others. Now, let's connect that to the gospel today. Jesus also said to Peter, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. When you go to Rome or any place or any wherein you see the 12 apostles, you would recognize Peter because of what? He has the key. And if you look into the emblems of the Pope, there is the keys. But it's interesting to know and to note, why did Jesus give Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven? Why do you think? Okay, you don't have to answer that. Maybe because, and it's very obvious to the question that Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? Now, what came out from the mouth of Peter was very, very significant. But looking at Peter, he was a simple, humble fisherman. He was not privileged to, like a Pharisee or a Sadducee or the scribes who really were able to study the law word for word and know it by heart. I think, personally, my opinion, Peter was living his life as a Jew because as what is being passed on to him by his family, his generation, he celebrated or observed the law as anyone else. He was not really as knowledgeable, and yet his answer was so profound. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This does not just came out from Peter's mouth, but it came from the deepest part of his soul, inspired by the grace of God. And that's why Jesus said, no one or nothing on this earth inspired you to say that. The grace came from my heavenly Father. Do you remember the feeling, the excitement when you got your first key to your first car? You remember that feeling? Your first key for your first car? Or maybe the title of your house and the key of your first house. Do you remember that feeling? And then when you start the engine and drive, each day you realize, oh, I have to put gas in it. Oh, I have to change the tires. Oh, I have to do oil change regularly. Oh no, I have to pay the insurance. And then you suddenly scratch your head. What did I get myself into? When Peter was handed the kingdom's key, I think it's very elated. Wow, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, is giving me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. But mind the words of Christ. What you bound or bind on earth will be bound in heaven, but whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Those words are reminding Peter that there is great responsibility. When Peter accepted that key, he was also decided, maybe. He was so excited, wow, I have it, but has no idea what he signed up for. But then, even then, as Jesus unfolds to Peter, the apostles, and the disciples, what it means to pick up your cross and follow me, Jesus was always caring. He was not forcing anything upon them. But he trusted Peter because his answer, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, make Jesus see there is something in this man that I can work with so that the glory and the kingdom of my Father shall be revealed to all. And that reality continues to happen and take place at this very moment. By the time of our baptism, we were handed the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And as we live, as we move along in our faith journey, little by little, Jesus reveals to us and asks us the very same question. Who do you say that I am? But sometimes the challenge is, with the busyness of life, we have the keys, but we sometimes put it aside. And we just go about our business. Or there are times that, and I know you know this, I just lose the key. I lost it. I don't know where to find it. And it's frustrating. And to the point that I don't want to deal with it. And that's it. But because Jesus is kind and understands where we are coming from, if we leave the key somewhere, He will pick it up and then hand it over again to you and me. Here's the key. Work with me. Let's work together to build my Father's kingdom here on earth. My dear friends, we are handed the keys to the kingdom of heaven. It's not because we are worthy, but because Jesus believes the goodness that exists in our hearts and that in our souls, that the same confession that Peter said is in our heart. I just got divorced. My wife left me. My dad died in an accident. I lost the job. I can't pay any more of the mortgages. Last night, I lost my house because of Harvey. All these challenges are real. And they are there. And it holds us back sometimes to hold on to the key and let it go. But it's not the end of the world. Jesus will keep reaching out, asking the question, who do you say that I am, until we get it. Wow, you are my Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Use me, Jesus, to whatever purpose you need me, to bring that love, that kingdom in heaven. Whatever it takes, however hard it is, I will do it. And I know I'm not alone. I am in a church. We are in a church. And we will do it together. Just like the Golden State Warriors, there is strength in numbers. My friends, people suffer and they seek, trying to find the answer, did God shut His door on me? With all these challenges, the hardships that I am experiencing. And you know what? We will be standing by the door and tell them, my dear friend, the door is not shut. We have the key. I will let you in. Do you remember in the year of mercy, Father Brendan gave us blank keys to pick? Do you remember that? And then we have the symbol of the door of mercy over there. Remember that. When we are given the key, we can open the door for ourselves. But what God wants is to let people know that you and I, as the disciples of Christ, we will hold the key and open the doors to the kingdom of heaven, to the door of God's heart for those who seek Him. Because God does not want to shut His doors. He's always welcoming. And you and I, we will be the face of Christ again to tell them the door is not shut. For people who says, like in the responsorial psalm, Lord, on the day I called, You helped me. We will make that happen. People are calling to God. And we will be that face of God to them. But remember, we must also take care of ourselves first. We learn how the key works. We learn what entails of holding the key. So that when we do open the doors for others, we're not just opening something that we don't understand. But we do. Because we ourselves have experienced Christ. So my dear friends, when you are in prayer, when the question Jesus asks us, who do you say that I am? Just be open to it and say, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Allow me to be your key so that your kingdom may come in this world.